Newsletter monetization has evolved far beyond traditional advertising models, as demonstrated by three successful US publishers who've cracked the code on sustainable revenue streams. Ulrika Langer, media analyst and freelance journalist, presents compelling case studies from Axios, 6AM City, and Morning Brew that reveal how smart publishers are building profitable newsletter businesses. From Axios's premium scarcity model targeting niche audiences willing to pay $2,500 annually to 6AM City's AI-driven local expansion strategy to Morning Brew's multimedia ecosystem approach, these publishers prove that the key lies in knowing your audience, choosing the right distribution channels, and building direct relationships with both readers and advertisers rather than chasing vanity metrics.
Since my slides are in English and I don't want to have to get all schizophrenic by switching languages in my mind all the time, I got permission to speak English, even though I'm German, but I'm also American. I live in the US. I analyze media developments there. I have been doing that for the last 14 years. And for the last 30 years, I've actually been working as a freelance journalist for Oberauer Publications, first Medium magazine, and now it's all about business models at Crespo. So we'll skip this. We don't have the time. We'll go right into the interactive part, the audience participation part. In case Hans Oberauer hasn't woken you up enough already, I will try to do this now. So I would like to have a show of hands from you for the question, what is driving your newsletter revenue? I hope it is A, B, C, or D, or a mix of that, and not answer E. Otherwise, you would be somewhat late to the game, but not too late. So, answer A, who is making money with display advertising and sponsoring their newsletters? Can we have a show of hands? Okay, that's okay. That's about 20 hands. Who has premium subscription and memberships? That means newsletters that are behind the paywall or are standalone products. That's our maybe 15. Who is combining their newsletters? Now, this is advanced. Who's combining their newsletters with events, either big conferences or smaller networking events? Even fewer, maybe 12. Who is using newsletters to drive e-commerce or has affiliate marketing? That's maybe 10. So we're getting lower down into the funnel. And answer E, don't be afraid. If you're E, that's okay. This is not the US. 1, 2. I think there are some more. You're just too shy. So I will show you cases for American newsletters that are doing this or a mix of this, and they're not doing E. I'm showing you three case studies. The first one is Axios, and Axios is all about premium scarcity. It's not about volume. It is about getting the right kind of subscribers. 6AM City, they use AI for scaling their model on a national level. And Morning Brew has been very smart about building a whole multimedia ecosystem around their newsletters. So let's dive into the first one, Axios. What they have been doing is creating a scarcity around their inventory of newsletters. As you all know, they invented the smart brevity principle, and they have also, and that is lesser known, they have also been concentrating on a niche strategy. So their niche is their new mass. They don't create just a few newsletters for everyone, but for every niche where they find this is a market that is lucrative for us, That's where they go in and that's where they go deep, and that is where they actually make their money. And for the advertising finance, the sponsored newsletters, they only create a new one if they already have the market demand in advance. So we will also see this with 6am City on the local level. This is something that they have in common. Don't start in a market where, or in an industry, or in part of an industry which is not lucrative for you. This is okay. So limiting the sponsorship inventory, that creates scarcity and that creates the opportunity for premium pricing. But it's also about creating events and connections between the advertisers, your subscribers, and yourself. It is in this triangle that they are able to create value for all three. And Axios Pro and their new Trends newsletters, which are just starting, they're actually quite expensive. So Axios Pro costs almost $2,500 per year. What the subscribers are getting is not so much a newsletter, but a more affordable consultancy for themselves. So instead of having to hire a consultant that would be, or a consultancy that would be way more expensive, they're getting this mindset in form of a newsletter into their inbox. And of course, they're getting access to peers, access to industry influencers and networking in a very small and premium circle. So they're buying access. They're getting access for this. And the target is only to have from all the Axios newsletter free subscribers, the target is only to get 2% paying. No, because this is so premium and so expensive, you don't need many subscribers. You just need the right ones. What's the lesson from that? Create scarcity and go beyond vanity metrics. So, of course, if you have a model like this, you cannot chase page views or opening rates. That's not what matters. You want to convert the right kind of readers. And so that's all for now from Axios. Key insight from that, I think I've already said it. Let's go right into the next one, which is 6am City. So that is a nationwide local media model. They only go into the very lucrative cities. They do not start in markets where they don't have data that is telling them that in a few months they can be profitable. Often it doesn't even take that long because they only start with 2.5 people, 2.5 full-time positions. One of them is solely devoted to creating relationships with local advertisers, and they don't need much. Their break even is at 50,000 subscribers at per market. You can do that if you have a bootstrap model. Now, this is not, of course, hard-hitting investigative journalism. If you've ever seen an Axios local newsletter, it's about what's going on in my city. What do I need right now in my daily life? But it's not breaking local scandals. It has value, and nobody else is doing it as well as them. But it is, of course, not the only kind of local journalism we need. So that's the caveat with this model. No crime, no politics, nothing that would, nothing adversarial that would drive advertisers away. That's the other part of that strategy. What they do have is what they call a pride of place AI algorithms, and that is a mixture of how much do people spend on retail, how much do they give to charities, what's the social sentiment, is there a coherence in this community, do they like to interact with each other in the neighborhood networks, are they fighting with each other or do they help each other? All of these factors are informing 6AM City's strategy. And then they have absolutely streamlined their processes. So when they enter a new market, they do this in the same way in every single market. And now they all have all the processes in place, how the newsletter should look like. It's always the same. And they go from start to being functional in exactly 2 weeks. That's all it takes. They diversify their business model also. So newsletter advertising is the primary stream of revenue, but they also have an e-commerce product that is sent out with the newsletter. It's connected. It's called The Buy. It's kind of a smaller version, less sophisticated version of the New York Times Wirecutter. They also license their software to other publishers, and this is something that actually many, even small publishers in the U.S. do. Once they figured out what kind of software works for them and they're getting questions from their industry peers, they try to think, is this something that we could actually license to others? They also form strategic content partnerships. So Tegna has local broadcasting stations, radio and television, and they form partnerships with them to broaden their reach on both sides. They carry each other's content. They carry each other's subscribers. And Ryan Heafy, who is the chief operating officer of 6AM City, thinks that his model has a lot of potential also for other publishers, but they aren't there yet. The advertising industry in the U.S. is actually signaling that they want to have more inventory in newsletters, but publishers aren't offering it to them. And I think this is something to be thinking about in Europe, too. Are you actually aware of where your advertisers want to be? And could you be offering them more in your newsletters? Last model, Morning Brew. I think I have to speed up here a little. So Morning Brew went from being one newsletter to being many newsletters for different industries, and also from being just a newsletter to also being a podcast, and then several podcasts. And their revenue has been, I would say, almost exploding. They're definitely profitable. They now have 7 specialized B2B newsletters. So they went from one generalized morning newsletter to 7 specialized newsletter, all the while analyzing where's the money. It's in human resources, in tech, in finance, in retail. So their ideal subscriber is someone who rides the subway for 20 minutes maybe every morning, and maybe is new to the job, to his job, and wants to impress his or her boss. So what do they need to know for in their workday to climb the next ladder in their career? And that's what Morning Brew wants to offer them in their little niche. The revenue streams, So the B2B newsletters are now actually more profitable than the flagship newsletter, even though that's the older one and that's the best known one. They work with events, with merchandising, and with networking. That's all connected. They have this podcast, the four podcasts, the YouTube channel. I mentioned that. And actually, 60% of their audience engagement, first contact or commenting or subscribing to a new newsletter, that now happens outside of the newsletter. So the newsletter is only one element in their whole puzzle strategy. If you have a platform with newsletters and video and podcasts and events, of course, you can use all of them to cross-promote each other. And that is something that I often see underutilized with publishers globally, really, that they create new verticals, which in themselves are really good, but they are underutilized to constantly be cross-promoting each other. Podcast listeners are especially prone to also subscribe to the newsletter that is for their industry. So if someone is listening to a finance newsletter for their industry, of course, they will be predestined to also subscribe to the same newsletter. You just have to show it to them at the right moment. That is something that CEO Robert Dibble of Morning Brew says. He has this chief financial officer ambition. So as I said earlier, the young professional who wants to climb up the career ladder, Robert Dibble calls this cross-pollination. I like that term. So cross-pollinate your events, your verticals, your newsletters, whatever you have. I will be finishing up with four strategic lessons from Axios. Let's go back to Axios. Create artificial scarcity, target your niche influencers, focus on the metrics that really matter to your brand. Do not focus on vanity metrics. I often, very often still in industry news see opening rates, total subscriber rates. Those are not the metrics that matter as much as the ones that you can monetize in the end. And build direct relationships. Those are the Axios lessons. What are the 6 a.m. city lessons? Use AI to predict which markets will be valuable for you if you want to branch out into a new market. Use AI to automate your processes so you do not have to start from scratch everywhere. If your newsletter setup works for one local market, see if you cannot use the same one also for a different market with different content, of course. Now, this is something to be taken with a grain of salt, because if everyone would be doing this, we wouldn't be having hard-hitting journalism anymore. But actually, avoiding controversial content expands your reach within advertisers. That goes without saying. And also, fourth strategy, if you have software that you like, that works, that your colleagues like, think about, is there a business model behind it? Could you license it? And three strategic lessons from Morning Brew: build multimedia ecosystem. Do not silo your verticals, but do segment your audiences. Who can you upsell your products to? You need an informed data strategy to do that, to precisely target the right audience. And think about, even if you're a local publisher, Is there a B2B model maybe behind your content, behind your newsletters? Would local advertisers, local businesses, local politicians be interested in a more targeted B2B approach that is the right content for them because it goes deeper and helps them in their daily professional life? The bottom line, know who you serve, choose the right distribution channels, and build sustainable direct relationships both with readers and advertisers. If you want to know more case studies, here's my shameless plug. Subscribe to my newsletter and listen to my next two sessions this afternoon. Thank you very much.
Thank you.